Bart T. We're back on the Carolina Outdoors, and there's really only one way to be assured of a white Christmas when you live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Go somewhere else.
That's right. Head for the mountains. You got it right this time. We're off to Sugar Mountain.
That's right. We're going to bring on Kim Yokel. She is of Sugar Mountain, and she's going to share with us all the things that are happening up there on the mountain. But we're also going to find out a little bit about her, because she is not only an accomplished skier, but she's also an accomplished author and an accomplished aviator. Kim Yokel, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
That's quite a repertoire. How do you link those three things together?
I think it's all linked to adventure.
Ah, there we go.
Listen, and we're proud to say that you're going to be on hand. Kimberly Yokel is going to be at Jesse Brown's at our Storytellers night at Jesse Brown's on February 1st. We just spoke moments ago to Peter Ripmaster, who is one of the alums of Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown. So that's going to be February 1st from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Kim Yokel is going to tell the story Fly Girl. But Kim, before we get into that, we need to talk a little bit about Sugar Mountain. Tell us about the mountain. Did all that snow help a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, definitely. We got actually 10 inches of snow during that storm. And the nice thing about it, it was a really calm, no wind storm, and the snow just fell so beautifully. The next day we had wind, but nonetheless we got 10 inches of snow and lots of skiers and lots of great skiing. Since then we've had very, very cold temperatures, so we've been able to make lots of snow for the main trails at Sugar. We got a little bit of rain and some warm weather in the past few days, but that hasn't hurt us too much, and we're looking at Christmas Eve Day. I believe that's on Sunday. Looks like winter is definitely going to return for 2 or 3 weeks, and we're looking forward to making more snow and getting more natural snow. So right now we have 4 lifts and 11 trails open on a 15 to 40 inch base. Ice skating is open, tubing is open. We're running a full operation here, and lots of fun for sure.
Hey, Kim, you've traveled the world as a skier, as an author, as an adventurer, but when you go other places, tell us what makes Sugar special. What do you tell other people that you meet in your travels about Sugar Mountain and why it is special?
Yeah, there's so much special about Sugar Mountain. You know, obviously we're in the Blue Ridge Mountains. The beauty, the landscape of this area is as beautiful as any other mountain range around the world. It has its own uniqueness, of course. The people of the high country in Western North Carolina are always so friendly and gracious, and you know, the accent here is obviously adorable. And the skiing is terrific. The adventures are really good. Summers are wonderful here, low temperatures. You know, truly, Bill, I could go on and on and on. When I first came to Sugar Mountain, I didn't know there were mountains south of Massachusetts, really. I didn't know it snowed down here. I didn't know Mount Mitchell was the highest mountain east of the Mississippi. So it's definitely still a well-kept secret. And in some ways, I'd like it to stay that way. But in other ways, it's a wonderful, wonderful tourist attraction, just the entire area, the natural beauty. So, like I said, I can go on, and I'm sure you don't want me to do that.
Well, it's okay. Kimberly Yokel is our guest here on the Carolina Outdoors. She's talking to the outdoor guys, Don Yeager over there, Bill Barty right here. And, Kimberly, I would add that it is so accessible to make our way to Sugar Mountain, whether we be in Florida listening to the outdoor program right now on News 1110 99.3 WBT, or whether we be listening across the street on one of the Jesse Brown's podcast of the program right now. But you can be at Sugar Mountain in 2.5 to 3 hours and be skiing a half hour after that if need be.
That's correct, Bill. Yeah, we have a very large footprint of demographic area of black, just a large population of people that we draw from within a very short radius. Like you said, Charlotte, Atlanta, Knoxville, Raleigh, Roanoke, they're all very close and, like you said, easily accessible. We have great roads. The DOT here in North Carolina does a terrific job keeping roads clear in the wintertime and well-paved any time of year. So, yeah, we're very close and very accessible.
Now,
it's so easy to get here, as you mentioned.
Now, Bill mentioned that you're an author. Tell us about that part of your life.
Yeah, I took up flying. I decided to try to become a pilot. I was deathly afraid of flying. So I attempted to become a pilot. And in order to sort of manage my fear, I started writing sort of a journal. And from there, my joy and love for writing sort of flourished. And I wrote a book about learning to fly. And then I wrote a second book, a memoir of my life growing up as a member of the U.S. ski team. And then moving to the South, which is really unusual for a girl from New England who's a ski racer. So it's sort of both books are adventurous in their own right. And I discovered the joy of writing. And in the process, too, I think I've become a better writer.
Is there a similarity in flying and skiing? Do you find the adventure or the thrill or the passion is similar?
There's definitely a thrill in both. You know, you see butterflies and, you know, a heart-wrenching stomach when things are challenging are very similar. The rewards when you accomplish, you know, a terrific run or carve some really sharp and fluid turns are equivalent to landing in, you know, a 10-knot crosswind on a very short airport up here in the mountains of North Carolina. They both have very similar internal rewards that are very, very hard to explain.
Well, Fly Baby and The Aviatrix are those two books. And we're excited to have you February 1st at Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown so that you can tell the Kimberly Yokel story in regards to all of your successes and all of the failures that have helped build in to the successes. I'm going to ask you about female aviators, too. Were they of an inspiration to you in the 20th century pilots, pioneers, Amelia Earhart, Beryl Markham? There's an author. Her books or her memoirs turned into books, too. Did those people inspire you to fly, and did they inspire you to write?
When I first started flying, mainly my husband inspired me to fly because I didn't have a whole lot of interest in learning how to fly. But as I learned to fly and became more involved in writing, I definitely looked up to and admired all of the great pilots, female and male. I recently read a book by Ernest Gaughan, who is an incredible writer as well as a very accomplished early 1900s pilot. So I've learned so much about male and female pilots, and I like to make that there's, you know, really no distinction. I think a pilot is a pilot, whether you're female or male. They're both incredibly accomplished people because it takes a sort of courage and an intellect to become a pilot. So I've been inspired by so many people in the aviation world, for sure. Even living pilots today, when I come across a pilot that's willing to talk to me, a commercial pilot or anyone. It's just unique, very, very unique to be a pilot and to be accepted in the world of aviation.
Now, we're coming up on the Winter Olympics this year, early next year. I mean, and I am, like so many people, totally, totally involved with watching the Olympics on television. And the Olympics have always interested me because it is unbelievable individual heroic efforts of training and so on and so forth. Tell me a little bit about being an Olympic athlete and what goes on in the head of an Olympic athlete.
Oh, Don, I appreciate you bringing that up, the Olympics, for sure. Just to be clear and to maintain facts, I was not an Olympian. I have a twin sister. She was an Olympian. I was injured the years the Olympics came about, and then the next Olympics I would have qualified for. I had retired by then. But I did go to the Olympics and watch my sister race while I was recovering. But you're right. The Olympics is very, very special because we're amateur athletes. Who train, you know, a lifetime. We start when we're very, very young, 2 or 3 years old. Some start later, too, and discover their talent as an athlete. But it's grueling. It's adventurous. It's rewarding. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to grow up from my perspective. But like you said, it's sort of an elitism because you're so focused and so determined and so dedicated to what you do. So when you do watch the Olympics, they truly are great people and great athletes. And it's wonderful to see that the Olympics do continue. But aside from the Olympics, all of those Olympians are still people who compete during the season of their sport. So every competition that they compete in is, you know, like an Olympics. It just doesn't get the commercial attention that the Olympics get.
Kim Yokel, thank you so much for joining us. Hey, a reminder, though, Kim, you won the blue ribbon three times at the Avery County Fair for those chocolate chip cookies. So congratulations on that. That makes me hungry right there. Take care, Kim. We'll see you at Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's. Thanks to all of our guests, Andrew Dunn of the Charlotte Agenda, Joe Marisak of the Charlotte Observer, Peter Ripmaster of the Iditarod Invitational, for TJ Boggs and Don Yeager. I'm Bill Barty saying get outdoors, pick up your trash, and we'll see you next time on the Carolina Outdoors.
A Festivus for the rest of us!